hands. We made a special offer, my book, Seduction of the Saints, an $18 book, plus this book, a total of $30, plus only $4 postage and handling for the two books. You save $7. If you want the special offer, call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA. If you want to get either book by itself, get it on our website, saveus.org, or you can call us, again, at 1-800-SAVE-USA. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith, friend, to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. We're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. People, get ready. Jesus is coming. Soon, we'll be coming home.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. David Janda, and Dr. Janda is an orthopedic surgeon, so certainly when I first heard about him and the work he was doing, I felt sort of a kindred spirit towards him before we'd ever spoken, because there's sort of a fraternity of orthopedists. It's a wonderful specialty, and I know I've enjoyed it, and I'm sure he does as well. But he has also been involved in writing and talking and giving speeches about what's going on in medicine, what government medicine is going to mean for the patients, and, of course, about the health care bill. Now, certainly, we're told that the administration says there are no death penalties in the health care legislation. Are there going to be death counseling in an effort to tell people, and they're going to pay doctors and spend time with the patients to get them to sign an end-of-life directive so that nothing extraordinary will be done? But what does extraordinary or extraordinary mean? Does that mean, you know, putting people onto a ventilator? Does it mean giving them food and water? And I will tell you that giving people food and water at the end of life is considered extraordinary treatment. And only trouble, I was never quite smart enough to know when the end of life came. But I can tell you when you take away food and water, why end of life is very, very close. But Dr. Janda has written a treatise on this idea that there really are certainly the panels that have been set up that will determine what treatments are given and who's going to get what treatment, who will qualify for it. So without further ado, Dr. David Janda, thank you so very much for being with us.
Dr. Stan, thanks for having me aboard.
Well, you remind me of myself 30 years ago, young and idealistic and wanting to save the world. And, well, I had to... I retired 15 years ago, been doing talk radio ever since then. Tell us, what did you find when you began to study this issue of the healthcare and the so-called claim that there are death panels? Is there anything in the bill that would suggest that they would plan to ration access or limit access to healthcare?
Well, like you, Dr. Stan, I come at this as a not as a politician, but as a practicing physician and surgeon. And, 29 years ago at Northwestern University Medical School in Chicago, I raised my right hand and I took an oath to do no harm. And I've tried to uphold that oath every day of my life since the day I took it 29 years ago, and I've tried to extend that oath by trying to prevent harm. In addition to my work as an orthopedic surgeon over the past 25 years, I've also dedicated my life to the prevention side of the equation, and as you know, I've formed and founded an institute, the Institute for Preventative Sports Medicine, which is the only healthcare cost containment organization of its kind in North America that focuses on preventing people from getting injured, preventing people from having to use the healthcare system by making them safer and healthier. It shouldn't be the exception to the rule, but unfortunately, it is. There is no other organization of its kind in North America or, frankly, around the world. And through my work in prevention, it's actually led to my 20-some-year experience and research into healthcare cost containment and healthcare reform. I've been a strong advocate for healthcare reform, but I haven't come at it from a political basis, from a right-left, liberal, conservative, Democratic-Republican axis. That's the X-axis. I really come at it from a Y-axis, and that is looking at it as in healthcare reform as being up, being for freedom, and down, being for oppression. And we obviously are for healthcare freedom for everyone. And currently, I believe that, and have believed...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. All right, David, go right ahead.
Well, I believe, Dr. Stan, that HMOs, insurance companies, and big government bureaucrats have really tried to oppress people's health care freedom by denying care, by rationing care as a means of cutting health care costs, which I believe is the most unethical and inhumane means of cutting health care costs, and the most effective way to cut health care costs is to prevent health care need. And the way we do that is giving people their health care freedom by putting the money back in the hands of the people, not the hands of the insurance companies, HMOs, or federal bureaucrats, but letting people decide, because they have the money back in their hands, their health care expenditure money, of who they can go see, what kind of treatment they can have, and combine it with consultations with their providers, and where they can go for their treatment. So I come at analyzing the Obama health care plan is not one from a political axis, but one of a provider for patients from throughout the country over the past 29 years of my life, and also from an injury prevention specialist and healthcare cost containment specialist. So the bottom line, Dr. Stan, and 99% of your listeners probably are unaware, because this has not been reported in the mainstream media, is that the Obama healthcare plan is really a two-part plan. The second part of his health care plan is currently being debated in Congress and in town halls across our country. The second part of the Obama health care plan is what he dedicated his entire hour and 15 minutes talk about last night on network TV. The first part of his health care plan was hidden in the stimulus bill and passed into law in February, and he signed that bill. And in fact, a number of these boards, rationing boards, enforcement boards, they've already been appointed, they've already been signed into law, and in fact, the head rationing board that he created in the stimulus bill, entitled the Federal Coordinating Council for Comparative Effectiveness Research, that board was funded in the stimulus bill for $1.1 billion, Dr. Stan, that's with a B, $1.1 billion, and he has already appointed all 15 members.
And, of course, we are never hearing about this sort of thing because there's an organized effort to create confusion and to withhold the real facts about what's going on from the American people. And we're going to be back in just a moment with our audience, and we want to develop these ideas with Dr. David Janda, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Dr. Janda said that basically what we're up against is the fact that certainly for a long time there have been people who wanted to ration care. Certainly the insurance companies aren't anxious to pay for a lot of health care. The HMOs certainly have been wanting to restrict health care. After all, the more you do, the less money you make. The less you do, the more money you make. And so that has to do with how the structure of HMOs work. But Dr. Janda makes the point that you are never going to hear, and that is that there are two parts to the Obama health care plan, the first part and the second part. The second part was what was being discussed last night, what President Obama was talking about, but the first part of the Obama health care plan has already been enacted, financed, appointed, and is underway. And, of course, that was passed in the stimulus bill, where they put out well over $1 billion for a series of rationing boards and enforcement boards. One of them is the Federal Coordinating Council. And these are actually set up, ready to go now, where they will begin to evaluate what treatments should be given and of course, who will get this, because, of course, when you get older, why is it really worth investing a lot of money in taking care of older people when most of the money put out today goes out for care of elderly people in the latter part of their life? Wouldn't it be far better if we just said that certain treatments are not appropriate at certain ages? Would that be what they're talking about, David?
Well, you're absolutely right, Dr. Stan. The Federal Coordinating Council for Comparative Effectiveness Research is based on comparative effectiveness. And the definition of comparative effectiveness in the medical community is a formula on the approval or rejection of treatment for patients based upon the cost per treatment divided by the number of years the patient will benefit from the treatment. Now, it's the same type of board that's present in the British healthcare system that's in charge of rationing care. You see, what this council is legislated to do is to take a look at a patient and the treatment that's recommended for that patient, to look at the cost of that treatment, and divide it by the number of productive years that person has. And if it doesn't reach a certain level, that treatment will be denied.
And so basically, this is basically a rationing board that will determine whether the treatment will be authorized, and certainly the treatment could be life-saving, but if it's not going to be cost-effective, that they would actually be able then to withhold treatment from certain older people, like maybe a heart valve replacement in somebody who was 80 or 85 years of age?
Well, even much less than that, I believe, Dr. Stan. For example, if you look at the 15 members of this board that the president has already appointed, so he can't get away with saying, well, I didn't know that was in the bill, because he's already appointed these people, and he's already funded it for $1.1 billion. But if you look at the 15 people, according to the bill, every member has to already be a federal government bureaucrat. They're not to come from the private sector. They must come from the federal system. And sure enough, that's what he did. All 15 members he appointed were from the federal system. There are some physicians, but when you look at the biographies on the people that are sitting on this council, I can't tell you when the last time they ever took care of a patient, if they ever took care of a patient. And most of these people have been in the federal bureaucratic system as paper pushers and administrators for many years, if not their entire careers. There is one person on the board that people need to be familiar with. And that person is Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel. The last name might sound familiar because his brother is the chief of staff to the President of the United States, Rahm Emanuel. And in fact, it's very troubling when you look at some of the work that Dr. Emanuel has performed, and not clinically, but his research and his thesis, to the point where he says the most productive members of society are people that are age 15 to age 40. And people before age 15 and people after the age of 40 cannot really be considered very productive, and they shouldn't have health care levels given to them that other people have between the 15 to 40 year age group. So when you talk about people in their 80s not getting bypass surgery, they're like, you almost have to cut it in half based on what he's written in the past. But surely people 65, 60, even 55 could well have their necessary treatment denied through this council and through this board. But they don't stop there in the stimulus bill, Dr. Stan. So he appoints this rationing board. In the stimulus bill, he also creates another entity called the National Coordinator for Health Information Technology. And according to the bill, the coordinator will be responsible for monitoring treatments to make sure doctors and hospitals are strictly following what the government deems appropriate and cost-effective. and to quote the bill directly and to, quote, guide medical decisions at the time and place of care, end quote.
Well, how can you have one government department certainly supervising the medical care of 300 million people?
It's impossible, other than the fact that if you cookbook this and you have the federal council creating all these protocols, and then you have this other agency with the coordinator overseeing it, making sure that all doctors and hospitals are conforming to the federal guidelines. And here's where it gets really nasty. The stimulus bill goes on to say that hospitals and doctors that are not, direct quote, meaningful users, end quote, of the new system will face penalties, and the Secretary of Health and Human Services will be empowered to impose, listen to this, Dr. Stan, quote, more stringent measures of meaningful use over time, end quote. Now, Dr. Stan, you were practicing medicine for many years. I've been practicing medicine for 29 years. I can tell you, and you can tell the listeners as well, what physician in their right mind is going to continue to be a part of a system that penalizes and punishes individuals for taking quality care of people? And it gets worse. When I was asked to be a keynote speaker at a congressional dinner in Washington in mid-July, and I presented on prevention and healthcare cost containment, and we got into a question-answer session, and I presented to this room full of congressmen. I said, let's say that I have a patient that has a certain condition, and I know that the government protocol, if it's 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, I know 1, 2, and 3 won't work, so I go right to 4. What's going to happen? And they look at me, they go, well, you're going to be punished for that. I go, even though I know 1, 2, and 3 isn't going to work, yeah, you're going to be punished. I go, well, what are we talking punishment-wise? Oh, you get fined. I go, so what are we talking, like a couple $100, $1,000? What? Just, you know, for me to take quality care of that patient. No, you'd probably get fined a couple $100,000. I said, well, what happens if another patient comes in and I know that patient isn't going to respond to 1, 2, and 3 based on my 29 years of taking care of people, and I go right to 4 again, the second time, so essentially my second offense. What happens then? What are they going to do, strip me of my license? And they look at me and they go, no, that's too bureaucratic. They'd have to go through the states for that, and they don't have, the feds don't have the power over state boards. So what they probably do is you'd probably go to jail.
And I think people have to understand that what you're seeing is the demise of the medical system. Now, certainly David was talking about Ezekiel Emanuel. He is the chief medical advisor to the President of the United States. He's the brother of Rahm Emanuel, the chief of staff. And if you read the writings of Dr. Emanuel, he really hates the Hippocratic Oath, which we swore when we became doctors, you know, to try to preserve human life. And there were certain stipulations here. We were not to do abortions. We were to do everything we could to save human life under all circumstances and never give any people drugs that would kill them. Dr. Emanuel disagrees with that. He thinks that one of the greatest threats to our society is the doctors who are wedded to these ideas of the Hippocratic Oath. Because he really believes, of course, we would be far better off if we simply eliminated older people who were useless people. The chief advisor, medical advisor to the President of the United States. People really need to go up, and fortunately we do have the Internet. You can go up and type in on your search engine, Dr. Emanuel, and then I would put down Hippocratic Oath or Hates Hippocratic Oath or something of the sort, and you'll pick up articles. Or Wall Street Journal had a great article on that. I would just type in Wall Street Journal, Hippocratic Oath, Dr. Emanuel, and you'll find out that he disparages anybody who believes in the Hippocratic Oath. And where is the outcry from the media? Certainly the media would have the knowledge that Dr. Janda does as far as the first part of the health care bill, which was part of the original supplement bill. It's already been funded. Everything is in place. The people have been appointed. The protocols are there. Why doesn't anybody talk about that, David?
Well, I don't have a good answer for you, Dr. Stan. I mean, you know, Beth, you brought up the Wall Street Journal article. The person who wrote that article last week was Dr. Betsy McCaughey, who's the former lieutenant governor of the state of New York, and she's, I think, one of the most outstanding healthcare policy analysts in the country. And she points out that, you know, this Dr. Emanuel has been quoted as saying, quote, doctors take the Hippocratic Oath too seriously. They need to learn how to give up on their patients.
How to give up on your patients. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to a doctor, and the first thing he's going to say is, well, why should I take care of you? It's going to cost me money. I'm in an HMO. It costs money to take care of you. Would you really want to go to a doctor who would feel that he should give up on his oath, his Hippocratic oath, and begin looking at the finances? And believe me, in all of these systems, so many of them, why, there'll be rewards for not providing health care. Would you want to take your car to a repairman who is paid not to get your car working again, who would make more money if he didn't get your car working? How many times would you take it to him? We'll be back in just a moment here with Dr. David Janda. Well, David, I know you have written about this. In fact, you're the only person who has ever I've found who's written about this.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
It has already passed. It was in the stimulus bill, which nobody was allowed to read. It was actually, well over 1,000 pages. And then at 3 o'clock in the morning, they added another 350 pages. And there was very limited debate. Nobody was allowed to read it and buried within the supplement plan, which nobody read, was, of course, the first part of the Obama health care plan, the one that calls really for the panels that will be doing the rationing, certainly one of them, of course, the Federal Coordinating Council, already funded now at over $1 billion has been spent to fund this and to appoint the people who are going to be on this council, and they are going to determine how medicine will be practiced, how medicine will be rationed. Now, certainly, Dr. Janda is the only person I've known who's talked about this at all. The media is not going to tell you. Certainly the president can get up and with a straight face saying, there are no death panels in this bill. Of course not. That, we've already passed that in the first part of the health care bill. But nobody is telling the American people. And the fact that this has been so carefully and thoroughly suppressed is simply another manifestation of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. So, has anybody else asked you to come on to their programs and talk about the first part of the health care bill that's already been enacted?
Well, yeah. The Awakening Show with Sentinel Radio Network, and then one of the largest news radio stations based in Detroit, WJR, Frank Beckman had me on his show. But that's it, Dr. Stan.
Well, if I just stumbled across this by accident on the Internet and was able to track you down, I'm just so glad you're coming to onto our network. We have stations there in Flint, but it gets into Detroit. And we've got about 12, 14 stations this evening with the Internet and shortwave. So this program is being heard all across America, and I hope everyone out there will want to get a copy of the program and want to get the information. Do you have this written up someplace on a website where people can actually read about the part one of the Obama health care plan, or I like to refer to it as the Kevorkian plan, where it's already been enacted and is in fact the law of the land?
Yeah, folks can go. We have a website, www.noinjury.com, and we have our work there on prevention and health care cost containment, and actually the book I wrote that you referred to, The Awakening of a Surgeon, is also on that site. You know, one of the other sites that has the entire, I wrote a article, and a portion of it was published on a news website called tothepointnews.com. And when they go to that site, it's a subscriber site, but my article was free on that site. If they type in my name, David Janda, it'll come up. Another site is if they go to the National Writers Syndicate, NationalWritersSyndicate.com. There is the full article I wrote with the references, page numbers, section numbers to the stimulus bill where these boards and councils were created and funded, and also the Health and Human Services website that boasts about the 15 members in this council and the fact that it was funded for $1.1 billion out of the stimulus bill. So NationalWritersSyndicate.com. And in addition on that site, I was asked to testify in front of a congressional committee several weeks ago, and my congressional testimony is also on that site. So those would be the three sites, noinjury.com, tothepointnews.com, and the nationalwritersyndicate.com. They have all this information in detail. And what I was getting to before the break, Dr. Stan, is, you know, when you strip everything away, the heart, the soul, the core of the Obama health care plan is to ration health care, to deny care as the means of cutting health care costs. and you and I both know as providers, that's the most inhumane and unethical means of cutting health care costs.
Well, I think the most important thing for people to understand is that one of the most carefully kept secrets today is the fact that Medicare is bankrupt. Starting it last year, why the Ponzi scheme wasn't taking as much money in as it was putting out, and this was because so many people are out of work. We're dealing with somewhere between 25 and 30 million Americans, either unemployed or underemployed or have given up looking for health care, looking for work. So they're not paying into Medicare. Medicare is not getting the money in and it's putting out more. It's just like what happened to Bernie Madoff. Only, of course, Bernie Madoff had the integrity to come forward and say, I've been running a Ponzi scheme, we're not getting enough money in, and it's all fraudulent. Now, Congress has been doing the same thing. That's what Medicare is. They had a fund, but they spent all the money, just like Bernie Madoff did, but nobody's telling the American people. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we were just talking about the Medicare Trust Fund, and the Medicare Trust Fund doesn't have any money in it. Why? Because, Congress stole the money. I mean, certainly most people put money into a trust fund, and then they take the money out. Why, that's an illegal act, and we put those people in jail. That's what they did to Jimmy Baker, the evangelist who was found to set up a trust fund for one thing. He took the money out to use it for another subject. Well, of course, Congress did was, of course, to take the money out and spend it on their pet projects and all the things that they wanted to do, and then they put IOUs in. Now, basically, of course, now that Medicare is not taking enough money in, so they're having to borrow money that's part of the $5 billion we're borrowing every day just to pay our debts. They have to borrow money to pay off the IOUs that are sitting in the Medicare Trust Fund. This is going to be the case probably within 2 or 3 years with Social Security. If something doesn't change dramatically, more people go to work, they start getting in more money. But they cannot tell the American people that the Ponzi scheme no longer is working. And that's why when President Obama says, look, we've got to get this health care bill passed, or we cannot balance our budget. We've got to get this health care bill so we can actually, you know, get this budget balanced. He's being quite honest. We've got to ration access to health care, but they can't tell the senior citizens that we're going to cut back on their health care. And President Obama said, you can keep your Medicare. You're not going to take your Medicare away. But he's not telling you, is they're going to change the whole fabric of Medicare to the point where they'll begin rationing access to health care. So everything is being done by subterfuge to keep the American people from learning the truth. We'll be back here in just a moment with Dr. David Janda right here at the Radio Liberty Network. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest is Dr. David Janda. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question. I don't know anybody who's better informed on the first part of the Obama healthcare program than Dr. Janda. In fact, he's about the only person who's spoken out about the two parts of the program. The first part, which has already been enacted, that has the rationing boards there, that will determine exactly how medicine will be practiced and so intimidate doctors that they will not be allowed to take care of you. In fact, they'll be penalized for doing what they really think is right for you. And most doctors are simply going to retire. There's going to be suddenly a shortage of doctors, and people will say, well, gee, we never thought things were going to turn out like this. Oh, shucks, we had no idea that Saddam really didn't have any weapons of mass destruction. It was just another mistake. And ladies and gentlemen, they know what they're doing. Now, if you have a question for Dr. Janda, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. That's 464-8295. But the fact that they've already actually incorporated the boards, the people have been chosen for them, the boards are funded with this $1 billion or more, so that they will be able to then begin to change the way that medicine is practiced. And that's how we're going to get the federal funds, federal budget under control, by rationing access to health care. David, do you think the average doctor is going to go along with this?
Well, you know, no, I don't. But here's my concern. Here's another way that I think they're going to ration care. As I mentioned, with the penalties and the punishments that are already in place that were passed through the stimulus bill of physicians that don't go along with the government protocol, I think what's going to happen, Dr. Stan, is there's going to be a massive number of current physicians who will step aside. They will retire. They will retire early. And I also am concerned of who in their right mind is going to spend $250,000 to go to medical school, so that when they get done, they can have a federal bureaucrat who has no functional medical knowledge tell them how to take care of a patient. And if they don't go along with the mafia father, essentially, what happens is that they get fined punitively or they go to jail. I mean, the bottom line is this is going to decimate the healthcare delivery system in our country. The physicians who are currently tending to patients' needs and caring for them are going to retire. They're just going to step aside. And the folks that were coming through the system aren't going to go to medical school because it's just so punitive. And the upside is nothing, the downside being going to jail and getting fined. And it's another way that they're going to ration care. You know, they're talking about, you know, it's interesting. Prior to his talk last night, the president repetitively mentioned that there were 47 million people that were uninsured. During his speech yesterday, he said that there were 30 million people that were uninsured. So without any part of the Obama health care plan going into significant effect, right, we've already lopped off 17 million people.
But, of course, you know that that is the illegal aliens. And, of course, he's had to say, well, of course, well, the illegal aliens are not going to be covered. But they are going to be covered because, according to federal law, any illegal alien can go to any hospital in this country, declare he has an emergency, and he'll receive emergency care there free of charge. And this is the way it's been. Unless they're going to repeal that, I can't believe they're going to do that. So when he says that this is not going to cover illegal aliens, basically, of course, the care, then the cost of the care, is absorbed by the hospital and passed on to the other insurance companies. And what they're going to do then is drive the expense of private insurance so high that people are going to be forced to then eventually go into this public or government health care system, which is supposedly there to compete and make it more efficient. Well, where did you ever see government compete more efficiently than, you know, with private industry? And basically, the federal system is going to be subsidized. The private is going to have to be paid for by the individual. So they're going to be paying their taxes, you know, for the public health care part, and then they're going to be paying their own health care delivery system. So they're going to be paying twice as much.
I mean, the federal government, Dr. Stan, it's a great point you bring up, can't even run a $3 billion cash for clunkers program, and they're going to run a $2.5 trillion healthcare industry? I mean, this is nuts. I mean, if you look at the government's track record, you know, when it comes to Medicare, you were talking about Medicare earlier. In 1966, they said, Medicare costs were $3 billion. In 2009, there were $408 billion. That's a 12% increase per year. You know, if you listen to the president last night, he's going to pay for part of his health care plan by cutting Medicare costs by $500 billion over 10 years. Well, if you look at the demographics of this country, Dr. Stan, there's going to be 30% more people in Medicare in 10 years. So you're going to have 30% more people, and you're going to cut $500 billion. And the only way to do that is to, you know, deny care, almost all care, to senior citizens. That's the only way he can do it.
But that's so logical, and you wonder why the people in the media don't point out there's no way of expanding coverage to all these people are going to become eligible for Medicare. As you say, a 30% increase in the number of people are going to be involved, and he's going to cut $500 billion?
$500 billion in 10 years.
Right, so he's going to provide more care to more people at less cost. The only way to do that is to ration access, and why doesn't anybody call him on it? Why don't the Republicans stand up and say, you can't do this?
Well, I think one of them tried to do that yesterday and got a little trouble.
Well, I think he was absolutely right. I don't think he should have said it. But they said, you know, the Republicans were just not respectful, you know, the president, why they were booing of him. Well, I think maybe there should have been some booing. Somebody has to point out that he's not telling the truth.
Well, other presidents have been booed in joint sessions of Congress. You know, Dr. Stan, I remember George Bush getting booed in 2005. I remember Bill Clinton getting booed. I mean, the bottom line is his information last night did not pass the sniff test. It was beyond misrepresentative. All I could think about when I was watching him speak and hearing, listening to him was Yogi Berra. Saying, you know, this great philosopher, Yogi Berra, right? It's deja vu all over again. I mean, we were back into July, where it's as though the president and his administration learned nothing from what people were saying at the town hall meetings. And, you know, economically, a lot of people have said that Barack Obama and his policies are very similar to what Jimmy Carter did in the 70s. Well, I have another contention. I believe that if you look at what he's doing in health care, it's very similar to what Lyndon Johnson did in Vietnam. You see, I believe health care has become a domestic Vietnam in our country. And by that, I don't mean to, you know, Vietnam was a terrible experience. But one of the lessons learned out of the Vietnam experience was that if the policymakers and the decision makers don't listen to the grunts on the front line, the grunts in this war being doctors, nurses, therapists, and the patients themselves. If the policymakers don't listen to the grunts, you're going to lose the war. And if we lose this war, we can't get in our helicopters and planes and fly away on this one. Every American citizen will become a casualty. And the bottom line is that the president and his entire administration are not listening to the grunts. Because what the grunts are saying is stop empowering HMOs, stop empowering insurance companies, and stop empowering yourselves, federal government bureaucrats, and start empowering people. Put the health care finances back in the hands of every person, family, and business so they can decide who they treat with, where they treat with, and what type of treatment they have. And Dr. Stan, as you will see in my congressional testimony, the only way to do that, the only way to empower people and to take the HMOs, insurance companies, and federal government bureaucrats out of it is with the use of health savings accounts. I talk about that combined with the use of prevention. Now, there's some other good ideas out there, selling insurance across state lines so there's more competition. Again, more of a free market approach. You know, going after the tort reform. I mean, he was so disingenuous last night when he said, well, there is some evidence that defensive medicine increases the cost of medicine. Oh, come on. I mean, we're talking billions of dollars would be saved if we had some type of national tort reform. But he's an attorney. His wife is an attorney. The trial lawyers funded him for tens of millions of dollars to get into office. So Howard Dean the head of the Democratic Party a week and a half ago stood up in front of a crowd and said, look, we're not going to take on that lobby because they put us into power.
I think that's absolutely accurate. Well, let's go to John, who's calling from Spokane. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about your health. We're talking about the health of the people in your family. They're going to ration access to health care. Down the line, they're going to deprive you of the medicines through Codex and some of the other international agreements we're going to be entering into. So you're not going to get adequate, be able to get the things that you need to maintain your health. And the bureaucrats are going to decide what's good for you. Do you remember when they... federal government mandated either ethanol or MTBE be added to all gasoline, and of course it was added here in California. It's carcinogenic, it contaminated the water supplies in so many areas, it cost billions of dollars, and then they said, oh shucks, a war, maybe we should have checked to see if it was toxic before we mandated it be added to gasoline. All shucks, well, we're going to withdraw that law, which they did, cost us billions of dollars. John from Spokane, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, for both of you, I have a couple questions. First off, if the way the bill is at this point, what effect will that have on any adjunctive, natural, alternative approaches, whether it's chiropractic, homeopathy, naturopathy, acupuncture, any of these other methods, even the birthing process using midwives and what have you, is it going to just go to the point where most of it is going to be dictated by pharmaceutical approach, or what do you think?
Well, what are your thoughts on that, Dr. Jott?
Well, it's a great question, John, and it's not outlined specifically as far as homeopathic treatments, chiropractic treatments, or the like. I can tell you what I think is going to happen. Mm. You know, what I think is going to happen is if you look at who they have on this federal coordinating council, this rationing board, I think all of those treatments will still be available, but they're going to say, we're not paying for it. You want it, you've got to pay for it out of pocket. Because I think they are going to tighten down and ration care to such an inhumane level that any type of alternative treatment, I think most types of, if you will, I don't know what you want to call it, standard practice procedures and treatments, they'll also be rationed down and ratcheted down and denied and rationed.
Well, that ties.
When it comes to pharmaceuticals, now, you know, the Obama administration, Obama himself has said that their administration is the most transparent administration in American history. It's like, oh my goodness, please. He said during the campaign that if he was going to have any business dealings with any corporations, he would do it on TV, open forum. Well, that sounded pretty good. Well, look what he did with the pharmaceutical industry about a month ago. He cut an $80 billion deal with the pharmaceutical industry. And what he said, and here's where I think the pharmaceutical companies will be okay in this bill, what the deal was, and they admitted that they cut this deal, is that they said to the pharmaceutical industry, you give us $80 billion in not free drugs, but in reduced charges for drugs over the next 10 years, and we won't touch you. We won't analyze anything, any charges you're putting out there. You just give us $80 billion in savings from the entire industry over 10 years, and what we'll do is we'll just let carte blanche. You can do whatever you want. In addition to that, what they said is the pharmaceutical industry gave him $150 to $200 million to push his health care plan in advertising fees. Now, here's the interesting thing. The top 12 pharmaceutical companies last year, John, made $91 billion in profit. That's just the top 12 companies in 1 year. So I don't think the pharmaceutical industry is going to be hurt very, very badly at all with this double set of bills.
I think, John, what you're going to see is that certainly birthing, home birth, I think you're going to have to pay for it yourself, but you're probably better to pay for it yourself. And certainly I think that alternative methods of treatment, alternative homeopathy, chiropractics, certainly there's a place for them in practice. There's a place for conventional medicine. We all need to work together, but the government's not going to fund those, and that's the best thing in the world, because if the government funded it, they would control them. Be thankful that they're not going to. You're going to have to start looking after your health. Preventative health care is the best type of health care. And certainly by proper, you know, medication, by proper use of vitamins and minerals, and there's certainly other things that, you know, will maintain your health, and avoiding some of the pharmaceuticals, which are frankly dangerous for you, as far as some of the psychotropic serotonin uptake inhibitors, the selective serotonin uptake inhibitors, the statin drugs, many of these things, I think, do far more harm than they do good. So certainly stay away from doctors as much as you can. When you do need a doctor, try to get a good one who will look after you and won't be looking over his shoulder, to be fearful that the government's going to come after him if he does what's right for you. It may very well be that Americans are going to have to go to other countries to get health care, so you better start saving for that eventuality. You may have to go to Mexico to get health care. You may have to go to Thailand to get health care. Just as the Canadians come to America to get health care now because they can't get it in Canada, why should they, that time may come when Americans will have to go elsewhere? We're in a terrible situation.
Dr. Stan, this ties into another question you both brought up. Now, I heard that the Democratic senator, I think it is, from Montana, was saying he wanted to impose fairly strict fines on anybody who failed to get health insurance. So then I would be double paying for any of my health care. I'd have to pay into the system by buying health care coverage. And then also, if I went to a chiropractor or whatever, I'd have to pay cash. And then also tying in with that, would there be a gatekeeper system where you'd go to a GP and then he would adjudicate what you would have and how it's done?
Well, I think it would depend on the type of insurance that you had. If you had a private insurance, you could still probably go to a doctor you wanted to. If you go into an HMO, why you go to a doctor who gets paid for not taking care of you? The whole idea of HMOs is not to provide health care. The more health care you provide, why, the less you make. The less health care you provide, the more you make. That's why one reason I left medicine. Thanks for calling, John. Well, David, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program. So what thoughts would you like to leave with our listeners out across America?
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, you know, America is changing, but most of the changes that are taking place seem to be designed to take away our freedom. And what can you do to remedy the current situation? Well, you can become informed, and one of the best ways to become informed is to subscribe to Republic Magazine, because that magazine provides the information that's suppressed in most other news magazines. If you want to oppose the effort to establish a one-world government, if you want to preserve freedom here in the United States and throughout the world, I suggest you subscribe to Republic Magazine, and you can do that by calling 1-800-873-1000. 800-873-1620. That's 800-873-1620. Or access their website at www.republicmagazine.com. That's republicmagazine.com. I suggest you get extra copies for your family and your friends.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights.
Agenda, and certainly he's absolutely right. There are two parts to the health care bill. One has already been passed, and nobody's telling you. And of course, Barack Obama can get up with a straight face and say, there are no death panels in this legislation. What? And that is a half-truth. The half-truth is they've already passed them. He signed the legislation. He's funded it. They've appointed the people who are going to ration access to health care. But they're not telling you about the Federal Coordinating Council and the other aspects of this that has already been enacted into law. And David's, Janda's, Sydney, impassionate plea is you've got to get involved and you've got to help us get the information out. I'd suggest you get a copy of this talk. We're going to be putting together a four-tape set on the health care bill. But go to the tothepoint.com or the nationalwriterssyndicate.com. Get their information and let people understand that they already enacted part of this legislation. It is all about rationing health care. And when you understand that there are people who are working at the highest levels of government, like Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel, who hate the Hippocratic Oath, who belongs to an organization that supports Dr. Kevorkian's position, who believes in population control, there are too many people in the world, would you really want to actually turn your health care over to people who hate the Hippocratic Oath and believe, of course, that we should let people die, who really embrace the concepts of population control and euthanasia? Would you really want your parents to be under their control? Because that's what's coming down the line, and you've got to be involved. Now, we've got a lot of problems. Certainly, if you get a copy of the program we've done tonight, or you can put in an order for the four-tape set, which we'll get out, but it'll be a few weeks. You need to let people understand the first part of the legislation has already been enacted. It's in the stimulus bill. Get the information, or perhaps we can make it available for you through our organization. You need to get our new 4-CD set on the swine flu vaccine, because nobody will tell you what's in the vaccine. They will not tell you whether it contains squalene, but one shot of squalene can destroy your life forever. Do you really want to take a chance, especially when there are people out there in key positions in government who believe in population control, who covered up the truth about the Gulf War illness, which was precipitated by the use of an experimental vaccine containing squalene? You can get our 4-tape set on Vaccine A. It goes into the background of the Gulf War illness and how they put a squalene into an experimental vaccine and destroy the lives of several hundred thousand boys. Almost 80,000 were dead as of a year ago last January. If you want the documentation on that, we have it from the Veterans Administration. Almost 80,000 of the 690 that went are dead. They didn't all get the vaccine, so you're probably talking 25 or 30% already dead. There are people who believe in population control. Now, why do you think that they're storing all those seeds up north of the Arctic Circle? Well, you know, they're storing seeds up there in the permafrost, so they would remain frozen, corn, soybeans, wheat, all sorts of vegetable seeds. And the other things that they're working on, genetic modifications down here for, and who is paying for storing those seeds up there? Why, the people who believe in population control, Bill Gates, the Rockefeller Foundation, Monsanto, the other big Swiss corporation that's doing genetic modification of our food intentionally to destroy it. And, of course, it's producing infertility in animals. We know that many of the hog farms that use the genetically modified corn, pigs became sterile. Suddenly, chickens won't eat the genetically modified corn. They're a lot smarter than the human beings are. Germany's just outlawed the genetically modified food. They understand, but you're not getting that here in America. There are going to be devastating effects. And you've got to get our material on GMO foods. You need to get all of the information. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And you can listen to our programs on the Internet 9 hours a day and pray for America, but please pray for Radio Liberty. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend Bob Fletcher, who's a frequent guest here at Radio Liberty, and we're going to be talking about the Kennedy family. Certainly Bob has done a wonderful DVD on the JFK assassination, which we do carry. And, of course, there's no question that we were lied to about the Kennedy assassination. He has pictures, of course, the other bullet holes there in the windshield of the vehicle. We know that the Select Committee on the Investigation, Congressional Select Committee, concluded, many years after the assassination, that there were 4 bullets that were fired, not 3, as we were told. And they immediately disbanded. Why? Because the congressman on that Select Committee knew very well what happens when you bring out the truth about what's going on. And, of course, they wanted to save their skins and their professions and wanted to live out a good long life. And so they, after determining that the Warren Commission was wrong, there were 4 shots fired, why, of course, they immediately disbanded the investigation. But Bob does a tremendous job with this DVD. You want to see it if you haven't, on the JFK assassination. But he had an opportunity to talk to Teddy Kennedy. And, of course, we've seen this wonderful spectacle recently of the passing of the lion of the Senate, a man who was eulogized and all the presidents there were to honor him. Why, both of the Bushes were there, but then why should we be surprised? Certainly the Bush family in 2003, the conservative Christian Bush family, paragons of virtue in the Republican Party. In 2003, the Family Foundation gave a reward to the most outstanding American citizen for that year, a man named Senator Edward Kennedy, Teddy Kennedy. Why would the Bush family give a reward, a monetary reward to the Teddy Kennedy in the year 2003, their foundation? Well, nothing as it appears to be. The leaders of both political parties are all in it together. Oh, the only thing you see, the smiles on their faces, that's they're laughing at the people because they're so stupid. They do not understand that both parties are controlled by exactly the same people. And the spirits, the same spirits of forces. Well, without further ado, let's get Bob Fletcher because he's certainly had an opportunity to talk to Teddy at one time. And but you tell the story, Bob.
Okay, it's good to be back with you, Stan. The Kennedy thing, of course, has been so many books and motion pictures, and I guess as much coverage on the Kennedys as Queen Elizabeth has covered in England, I guess, over the years. And of course, they certainly had created this huge dynasty of unbelievable power and wealth and everything. And again, a lot of people remember, of course, there's always scandals floating around all of the Kennedys, it seems, one thing or another, and some of them come to the surface, and of course are things that people remember them by, and a lot of them fall to the wayside and are never even brought out either in terms of I would say, you know, broad publicity. As far as the Edward Kennedy, Ted Kennedy situation, he's certainly giving him the due, and actually his brothers, both John and Robert, John becoming the president and Robert becoming, of course, a senator also. They did, in my opinion, in certain areas, they did some great stuff. I did believe that.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with our good friend, Bob Fletcher. Go right ahead, Bob.
Of course, you know, along with giving them the compliments for whatever variety of things that they may have done that I think and most people should maybe recognize as being good, I guess it's almost like all of the rest of the Senate and the Congress, almost every one of them, they take one good step forward and one or two bad steps backwards. So I don't know where you end up with that. But in my relationship with the Kennedy, with particularly with Ted Kennedy, it was rather brief. But it was actually back in a short time after 1985, 87, 86, around during the Iran-Contra hearings, when I myself was a federal witness involved with the with not only testimony as a actually as a victim of that mess, but also I became an investigative researcher at that point in time, and those years. And was assisting several congressional and Senate offices with a variety of investigations from 1987 forward. And what had taken place, my personal experience was that I had received through a very high level intelligence operative. I had received what actually was a CIA video, which was an analysis and a breakdown at that point in time of the actual assassination of Kennedy. Now, since then, there's been you know, an awful lot of these things have come out and surfaced. But back in 1987, in that period of time, 88 or whenever, during that period of time, this particular I will call it a technical enhanced version of the Zapruder tape had not been seen by anyone or very many people. And I received a copy of that along with a complete, a complete file on some investigations that had been carried out by the intelligence agencies themselves. And it was the basis for the expose that I that we now have available on a DVD form, and that is on the Kennedy, John F. Kennedy assassination, and who probably was involved with it, et cetera, et cetera.
Hold that thought, Bob. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris Bob was actually doing some investigation reporting in the 1986-87 era, leading up to Watergate, and somebody within the CIA had sent him a CIA videotape of CIA analysis of the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. So that really became the basis of the DVD that Bob put together on the Kennedy assassination. Fascinating. It really is excellent. It's very well done. One of the better ones I've seen. But you pick up the story there.
Well, and so I had begun at that point in time. I was doing so many different things during that time and being involved with two or three major investigations at the Senate and congressional level and helping out two or three congressmen. And I didn't devote full time, but I on the Kennedy thing at that time, that inquiry. But I had enough, which included names and as you mentioned, I had gotten the video. Actually, it was not originally a video. It was on old, I guess, 8mm film. But I had some film of the vehicle that Kennedy was in that showed the bullet holes that had struck the windshield that nobody had ever talked about later on in the investigations. And, of course, they were crucial because if you had, and there was actually two bullet holes or bullet hits in the windshield, one from the front, one from the back. And if you had two of them that hit the windshield, that makes it a conspiracy automatically because we know that there was another two or three shots besides that. So this was the first time that anybody had absolutely undisputable evidence and documentation of the conspiracy. And through a close friend of mine who had been involved with the Ronald Reagan presidency and had been involved with Bill Casey for many years, it was a lady that actually worked directly with him in his offices for many years. And she had...
You were talking about worked in Teddy Kennedy's office?
No, excuse me. No, working directly with intelligence with Bill Casey, who was the head of the CIA for several years with Ronald Reagan. And at that time, I did not have any other contact for the Kennedys. And so I went through her. She set up the appropriate connection. And I passed on the information in general that I had on the John F. Kennedy murder to Ted Kennedy's offices directly to him. And in a short period of time, we got the response directly back that they were the Kennedy family. I'm trying to remember pretty much exactly what it was, but basically it was that we, as the Kennedy family, have mutually agreed that we were going to just let things go. They're going to let it be. I think that was the term that was used in terms of the possibility of any future investigations at all by the family of the Kennedys into John F. Kennedy's murder. By the 80s, they had decided that they were not going to pursue anything more, and they just let it go to the wayside, even including the outrageous evidence and documentation that I had turned up. So that was my experience with Ted Kennedy. I have no idea any more beyond that with in terms of the feelings of the family. I don't know whether they did it as a logical just a logical concern to just let's not even go any farther with this, because at this time, of course, Robert Kennedy also had been killed, and of course Martin Luther King had been killed, and it was this period of such an unbelievable turmoil and that they pretty much just sort of wash their hands of the idea of getting involved with any future investigations themselves. They just didn't want to see it. I don't know if it was done from personal fear, which of course certainly would make sense, or if there was other political reasons for it. But even where I had actually come up on dead positive with the names of a few people that were directly involved with the killing of John F. Kennedy, but they just didn't want to look at it. So a few years later, I had completed other inquiries that we had been involved with, and we went ahead and put together the John F. Kennedy assassination DVD, and completed that. And of course, like you said, it's available now, you know, through yourself right there at the station. But it's you know, it's the Kennedy situation. One of the most and I guess some people realize this and some people don't. But the father of the Kennedys, the old man Kennedy, of course, made his fortune originally in during the Depression and the bootlegging, shipping in illegal and setting up illegal importing of scotch, I guess it was, for the most part.
But, of course, he would have been working with the mafia, which was involved at that time, so he certainly was involved with criminal activity.
Sure. Well, and that was is covered quite a bit in the DVD that we have available on Kennedy's assassination. You know, what he had done, the old man, when John F. Kennedy was running for the presidency, the old man cut a deal with some of the high level mafia people that had their hands into the unions, had such tremendous control with the longshoremen and other unions around the country, which the mafia has always had a finger in their pie of almost all the unions, particularly in the old days. I don't know where it's at now, but the criminal organizations certainly were heavy-handed in during that period of time. So what happened in the 60s was that the old man, the father, had meetings with a couple of the heads of the mob and basically a sit-down meeting and said, hey, I need your help to put John F. Kennedy into the presidency. If you can swing and pull in a few enough people from the unions in a few specific states, he'll be able to take the presidency. And in return for that extra little bit of arm twisting that the mafia was able to do with the unions at that time, they wanted Robert Kennedy and John F. Kennedy, both of them, to back off with all of the investigations that they had already been underway at the senatorial level. And they were doing all kinds of investigations with Jimmy Hoffa and all of the heads of the mob families and the unions, and they were constantly pushing to get enough on these guys to put them away for the criminal gangster activity. And so the old man, for the most part, promised that the kids, particularly John F. And of course, his brother Robert, who was to become the Attorney General, they were given, the mob was given the nod by Kennedy's father. And of course, what happened once they got the support of the unions, enough unions in a few areas, that he did win the presidency. Once they got in, when he got in, of course, John F. Made Robert the Attorney General, but they both sat down together and pretty much went full speed against the union and the mobs. And when they were confronted, my understanding anyhow, I was not at any of the meetings, but my understanding when they were confronted about backing off on the basis that the father, the old man, had in fact cut this deal, and that the what were they doing? How come they were turning on the deal? The Kennedy brothers basically responded saying that, well, that was something that their father did and had nothing to do with them, and so they seriously made enemies, both of them, as a matter of fact, seriously made enemies of some very high level mafia personalities, and we show that the likelihood of mob involvement in along with the intelligence community working together is absolutely positive. The structure that was placed together, put together to kill John F. Kennedy.
And there's a wonderful book written by the brother of Sam Giancana, who is the godfather of the Chicago mob. The book is called Double Cross. We used to carry it. You can still get it up on the Internet. And Chuck Giancana tells about, you know, how the CIA approached Sam Giancana, asked him to arrange for the murder of Kennedy, and Giancana actually hired the people who were going to carry out the murder. Why? Because, of course, John Kennedy had actually gone back on the deal, and, of course, because the CIA and the mafia worked very closely together. This is what it says in a book written by the brother of the head of the mafia. And, of course, the mafia was, of course, working with the CIA on drug distribution, was actually carrying out assassinations throughout the world, and they mentioned Patrice Lumumba in Africa. They hired somebody else to do it, of course, Trujillo, and certainly Diem and New, and, of course, John Fitzgerald Kennedy. It's all there in a book, and you're not going to hear this discussed on 60 Minutes or 2020. The last thing they want you to know is that the CIA worked with the mafia. But of course, the double cross, that's the title of the book, the double cross was that, the mafia believed that the CIA killed Sam Giancana. My goodness, you can't trust anybody today. Why the CIA double crossed the man who did the job for them. Bob, pick up the story.
And you're
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey Water Filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
D's back came out through the front of his neck. And then, of course, went into Governor Connolly, went into his back, came out the front, went into his right wrist, where it left a number of bullet fragments, and I've talked to the doctor who was there when they debrided the wrist. Then went into Governor Connolly's left thigh and left a number of bullet fragments, and then mysteriously reconstituted itself, so it was found lying in pristine condition on the gurney in the Parkland Hospital, right along next to the body of John Connolly when he was taken in. So this is a magic bullet that was able to not only change course a number of times, but reconstituted itself, and all of those bullet fragments suddenly, well, I don't know how they got back onto the bullet, but they definitely said this was the magic bullet that went through all those places, left all sorts of debris, and then reconstituted itself so there was not lost any lead, and the American people believed it. Well, of course, the man who pulled off the scam was a assistant counsel on the Warren Commission, and he came up with a theory of the magic bullet. It was verified by Gerald Ford, who they made president of the United States, and the assistant counsel was a young man named Arlen Specter, who today is Senator Arlen Specter. Well rewarded for his treachery, they both were. Go right ahead, Bob.
Yes, and Senator Arlen Specter is he and I had done several television interview programs together, and not necessarily together in heart and mind, but together in terms of sharing the spotlight back in the 90s, and I'll tell you, I got to give him credit. It's been almost 50 years. Well, it's been 40-some years, I guess. And he, of course, he will not even look at anything like my DVD, my investigation. He certainly wouldn't even look at that. And he's just really got his heels dug in the mud, so to speak. And it's almost humorous, of course, at this point in time, because like so many other real good investigations and the one that I've completed, he just, if he looked at any of that, he'd obviously have to say, you know, if nothing else, he'd have to say, I guess I made a mistake, you know. But he just really dug his heels in, and I didn't know him prior to the 90s, and then we ended up doing several shows together, including CNN News and some live broadcast, and it's funny because when I spoke to him privately, separately, he didn't want to have anything to do with looking at anything else besides the fact that he had put together, and that was the magic bullet that went all over the limousine and hit so many places and so many directions.
Well, I think it was not only the amazing trajectory of that bullet, but that it was able to reconstitute itself, because I have an interview with Dr. Crenshaw, who was there in the operating room as a surgical resident at the Parkland Hospital, and he talked about all the bullet fragments were in Senator Connally's right wrist, and then all the bullet fragments. How could that bullet reconstitute itself? And with all those fragments gone, how could it be in pristine condition? I've never understood that.
It had actually lost about something like 25% or 30% of its original content, and then was, like you say, when they tried to sell us that it was just the same single bullet, it was about 95% perfect. So, yeah, it kind of regrouped itself somehow. An interesting thing, because several things later on after the fact, it's funny, things still come out. And as late as 1999, the government announced that way back in 64, March 19th of 1964, they had flown a plane out, the U.S. government Defense Department allocated an aircraft and flew it out to where we dump our weapons in 9,000 feet of water, ocean water, where they have questionable weapons. They go ahead and drop them there. It is a no-fly zone, no fishing, no trespass area in the ocean that's overseen by the government. And they flew over that area there with the original coffin that Kennedy was put in when he left from Texas and was being transported to Washington.
And they changed the coffin. We'll be right back.
Right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and we do hope, of course, you enjoyed the presentation of Kate Smith's God Bless America, because at one time it was even considered making that our national anthem. It was a very, very popular song. When was the last time you heard it sung? Well, apparently, one or two of the baseball games or football games, they'll sing it. I think we should sing it all the time. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, our guest this evening is Bob Fletcher. We're talking about the Kennedy assassination. Of course, the investigation that certainly Bob had done at that time, going to the background of how they killed an American president. Basically, Bob was talking about how they'd actually taken the casket where Kennedy had been in, the original casket, and actually taken it out to dump it in the ocean, presumably. Now, I know that they changed the casket because I personally talked to Dr. Crenshaw, who was a young resident at the Parkland Hospital there in November of 1963, who saw what had really happened, who saw that the bullet that had killed Kennedy had come from the front, not from behind, and he was threatened. He was told that if he ever told the truth, he would never practice medicine again. Maybe he even suggested whether they threatened to kill him, I don't know, but they told him he was never to speak of it or he would never practice medicine. And for well over 20, 25 years, he never told the story. And then in the early 1990s, he wrote a book about what he had seen. He was immediately viciously attacked by the American Medical Association. He launched a countersuit on the American Medical Association, and they gave him $225,000, which was a lot of money in those days, saying, well, of course, we know we could win the suit, but of course, it's just so expensive, we just soon give them the money, so we don't have to go to court. The American Medical Association is part and parcel of the problem, just exactly as the American Dental Association. So many of our medical professions and professional organizations, are part and parcel of this cabal that we talk about. And that's why doctors spend their whole life to get into these organizations, because that's where they can do the maximum amount of harm. Under any circumstances, Dr. Crenshaw personally told me that the coffin that President Kennedy's body was placed in there at Parkland Hospital was not the coffin that arrived, at least was publicly seen, when the plane landed there at Bethesda. So obviously they changed the coffin. Who knows what else they changed. Certainly the brain, President Kennedy's brain, totally disappeared. How could that be? Well, certainly the bullet came from the front and blew the brain apart. Blew off the back of his head, but we cannot let the American people know that, because how could Lee Harvey Oswald, who was standing behind, have fired a shot from the front? Will you pick up the story there, Bob?
Right, and the like I was saying there before the break, we found out, or they did a regular press release in '99, telling everybody, it was a regular Defense Department release, that they had in fact, in 1964, in March of 64, pretty much the beginning of the year, had been given the word to load up this coffin, was delivered to the aircraft, the plane flew out, dumped it in 9,000 feet of water. It's totally impossible. Nobody could. And, of course, it's also an area where you are actually will be arrested if you were to try to do a dive or anything like that to find out the truth. And that coffin, as you said, was the one that he was first placed in Dallas, and it was a very, rather an ornate one. It was a pretty nice coffin, and that was one that they first loaded on the aircraft. Now, when once it arrived in Dallas,
in Washington, D.C.,
I mean, excuse me, in, when it arrived from Dallas in Washington, what happened was that everybody was told at the military medical center to be ready to take on the coffin. It's a short drive from the airport. And actually, there ended up being, very intentionally, there was a tremendous amount of confusion because there was a funeral vehicle that arrived, a hearse, arrived, and they offloaded and brought the Kennedy body in, and it was in one of the old regular metal emergency transport coffins. So it had been changed already at some point in time. What we have on our investigative report, we were able to get, I believe it's three complete interviews that were done by the personnel in Texas that actually wrapped Kennedy up and put him into that original coffin, which was, again, a very nice coffin. When his body was removed in Washington at the Naval Medical Center, it was not in a fancy coffin, so it had been changed. Now, then also, at that point in time, was when they discovered, and I have the actual interview on what was originally videotaped. We have it in our DVD report, an interview with the fellow whose job was at the autopsy in Washington. His job was to remove Kennedy's brain from his head so they could do a final accurate ballistics test on the brain. And when the body came in, this fella said, right on the live tape that we have, he said the head wound was huge, and it had been somehow opened up into a five times the size that he expected, and that he was physically able to put his fist into the skull and take it back out again where the brain was totally gone. He says he was able to put his entire fist in and then take it back out. There was absolutely no brain whatsoever left in Kennedy's head. So the brain had physically been removed, and as outrageous as it appears, apparently it was pre-planned so that there could not be any good logistical forensics done on this thing as the direction of bullets, how many, or anything like that. It was planned ahead of time, and on board that aircraft that flew from Dallas to Washington, they surgically removed his brain, and that was it. Now, my feeling is that this original fancy casket that was dropped in 9,000 feet of water probably had been sealed up. The instruments that were used to do the excavation of the skull, and also the tool, not only the tools, but the brain itself, is probably in 9,000 feet of water sealed in that casket. And it's amazing. We actually discovered these video interviews that had been lost, that were the three guys, the three different people involved at three different steps along the way, but were involved actually in wrapping the president up himself, and once he was declared dead, and put him into the fancy casket. And when it arrived in Washington, it was no more than a regular old shipping casket like the one that they used to bring the bodies back from Vietnam during that war. And like I say, this goes along with the doctor that you had spoken to and had written the book, when he said, in fact, that it was a whole different story relative to the direction of bullets and how many there may have been.
And if anybody can hear that interview on our Kennedy assassination, we have several four tape sets on that, but that's the original Kennedy assassination. You'll hear my interview with Dr. Crenshaw, and of course we hope that you want to get Bob Fletcher's DVD as well. All of these things go together. We in fact Kennedy special, which includes the DVD and the four tape set and a couple of other items. You need to know they killed an American president, they got away with it, and to this very day they keep bringing up so many contradictory things and do books which are written not to reveal but to conceal the truth, to give you so much information you can't think clearly. Go ahead.
We discovered so many little just bizarre connections between people and personalities and things of that sort. One of the shooters involved with the assassination team had previously been involved with Lee Harvey Oswald in the Marines. I think one of the most interesting bits that we were able to discover was, again, an old lost interview that was done of Ruby, and he actually talks, you know, this was back when hardly anybody was talking about the New World Order, the new government, the secret government, and the idea of a new socialistically oriented government slowly taking place in the United States. And it was, this is way back in the 60s, and when Ruby, who of course was the fellow that had stepped forward and killed Oswald, who was not the actual shooter, but had been set up as the patsy to take the blame. And of course, once you kill him, well, then it's kind of like, well, you never know, you know, so maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. But he was certainly a CI agent. But the interesting point was that Ruby actually made a statement during one of his interviews while he was being transported, like from one jail cell to another. He said, "You're never going to know the whole real truth on this, and you will never understand about there's going to be an entire new government created in the United States." Now, of course, back then, I mean, that kind of, first off, that line was just kind of lost to posterity. It was just vanished, you know. Nobody ever made a mention of it at all, as a matter of fact. But we do have that on our in our DVD, part of our investigation. And the again, the amazing part of that is that he's talking about the New World Order that Stan talks about and I talk about and so many people for the last few years have been trying to impress on the American public, that this, that the government is being slowly eaten up with the cancer of this New World Order. And to have Ruby, the mobster nightclub character that ended up killing Oswald, to have him actually talk about it is an amazing verifying fact that the concept of the New World Order in America was well underway in the 60s.
You know, I think it's so interesting that nobody's ever asked, why would Ruby, Jack Ruby, walk into the police station and knowing full well he's going to be caught and kill Oswald? Why would he do that when he knows he's going to be caught? Well, it tells you in the book, Double Cross, that Ruby was called in by the local mafia chieftain there in Dallas and told that he would do this, and if he did not kill Oswald, he would be tortured to death, and everyone in his family would be tortured to death. Now, it's right there in the book. And, of course, when you get an offer like that from the mafia, it's an offer you can't refuse. You carry out the order, otherwise you will be tortured to death, and everyone in your family will be tortured to death. People do not make, idle threats. They mean deadly. They don't care about human life. And, of course, what's really so interesting is J. Edgar Hoover actually covered for the mafia for many years. It wasn't until the Kennedys got in there that he was forced to actually go after the mafia. So he had some sort of an agreement with the mafia. He was covering for them. But that's why Ruby killed Oswald, and nobody's ever told that. There's actually a clip I saw down in Dallas there at the place where they have a museum for the items having to do with the assassination. A clip of Ruby talking to the people on the Warren Commission saying, "Get me out of here, get me out of here, out of Dallas, and I'll tell you what really happened. Just get me out of here. Otherwise, my life is in danger." And you know, just a couple of weeks, he developed the most fulminant cancer and died. I never saw such a fulminant cancer. A couple of weeks later, after Ruby had offered to tell the truth exactly what it was about, why he died of cancer. Amazing, amazing cancer.
It was like it was instant cancer. It was one of the quickest getting cancer, finding out, and then ended up dying. It was one of the fastest deaths by cancer, I think, that I've seen. There was a couple other, and I won't get into it now, but there were a few other government witnesses and people involved at high-level conspiratorial operations in the high level of our government that had similar cancer. It was, they were okay 1 week, the following week they were sick, following month they were really sick, and the next month they were dead. The another amazing point now that, again, this is some of the little finite things that have little pieces of the puzzle that are so interesting. For example, back just with Ruby, his name was Rubenstein, and he had been an inside mob, what do they call him, a witness that came forward secretly and spilled the beans on an awful lot of mob activity to a guy named Richard Nixon. And then way back when he was a young man, back, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, the year was as far back as 47 or 49, and he had been a close friend with Nixon when Nixon was a prosecuting attorney or district attorney in, I think it was Philly or Chicago or someplace up there, and Nixon actually assisted him because they were trying to, they were putting the pressure on Ruby, Jack Rubenstein, they did not know, the persons that were doing the prosecuting didn't know that he was a stool pigeon and had assisted in the prosecution under Nixon's investigations. Of course, Nixon was very mob-related, and I won't get into that right now either, but the bottom line was that Nixon got Ruby pulled out of these investigations many years ago, many years prior to this assassination of Kennedy, and moved him, assisted in moving and relocating down to the Texas and New Orleans area, and he changed his name just to Ruby, Jack Ruby, and of course he opened up one or two little sleazy nightclubs down there, and was still mob connected, etc., but actually had been a witness for Richard Nixon. And I thought that was very interesting because I'm absolutely positive with my investigations that Nixon had a finger in the pie on the assassination of John F. Kennedy.
Oh, I have no question at all that he was involved. Hoover was involved. People from the CIA were involved. People of great wealth were involved. I mean, there had to be an extensive cover-up, and it had involved the people in the military who hated Kennedy because he wouldn't let them invade Cuba. In fact, that's a whole different story for a different evening. But certainly, let me recommend to you the DVD that Bob Fletcher did on Jack Kennedy. They want to kill us all. They want to kill us all. We'll be right back.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, you know, America is changing, but most of the changes that are taking place seem to be designed to take away our freedom. And what can you do to remedy the current situation? Well, you can become informed, and one of the best ways to become informed is to subscribe to Republic Magazine, because that magazine provides the information that's suppressed in most other news magazines. If you want to oppose the effort to establish a one-world government, if you want to preserve freedom here in the United States and throughout the world, I suggest you subscribe to Republic Magazine, and you can do that by calling 1-800-873-1620. That's 800-873-1620, or access their website at www.republicmagazine.com. That's republicmagazine.com. I suggest you get extra copies for your family and your friends.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
View, Idaho, 83803. If you didn't get that, punch up on the computer, BobFletcherInvestigations.com, and it'll pop up there, and you can see the investigations that are available. Or you can contact Stan. Stan has all of our investigative videos, DVDs available. It's material that you, if you're an American, you need to see this stuff, and we try to do everything as clear as we can on our reports so that it's right out in front. And share it with your family and friends, and kind of, get ready for the stuff to hit the fan, because the time's moving on.
It sure is, and anyway, if the people had understood what had happened in the past, I hope they would have had the moral integrity to do something. Well, they're going to have to stand up now and be counted, or simply be counted out. You know, simply most men, some men die in foxholes and some go down in flames, but most men die just bit by bit, playing foolish little games. This is the time to stop playing games and become involved. God bless you, Bob. Thank you for everything you've done. We'll look forward to having you on again sometime real soon.
Same to you. Good night.
Good
Thank
night.
You.
Okay, fine. Well, I hope you enjoyed Bob Fletcher. We do have all of his DVDs and sitting on so many topics. And so you could want to get a list of them, you can call our 800 number, 1-800-544-8927. Or you can specifically ask for the one on the JFK assassination. But he goes into the murder of Sonny Bono. He goes into weather control. He goes into certainly the exotic weapons. So many excellent DVDs he's done, and we carry them all because we want you to get Bob's material. We actually have a four-tape set on the Kennedy assassination, a Kennedy update. You have a Kennedy special with a DVD and a couple of four-tape sets. Information, and it includes a book, Kill Zone, going by Craig Roberts. You need to get the information. You need to understand they killed John Kennedy. They got away with it because they controlled the media then. They control the media now. We've got a great 4-CD set on deadly assassins, where we actually interview 2 CIA assassins. We interview the man who tracked down the man who was ordered to kill General Patton. We carry the book, Target Patton. And then, of course, we have a 4-CD set on the murder of Bobby Kennedy. And the book, Bobby Must Die, Who Killed Bobby, and then a DVD put out by the BBC, never allowed to be shown here in America, of course, called RFK Must Die. We have the 4-DVD set on the murder of Martin Luther King. They killed Martin Luther King. They got away with it. James Earl Ray didn't do it. How do we know? Because there was a trial. And after 4 weeks, the jury came up and said the government did it, totally blocked out by the controlled media. That's the execution of Martin Luther King. And lastly, we have a great 4-CD set, or we have on the USS Liberty, where an American intelligence gathering ship was sent off the coast of the Sinai in 1967 with the idea that they were going to kill everybody on board. They were going to have the Israelis kill everybody on board so we could go to war with Egypt. And when, of course, God intervened and the ship didn't go down, those soldiers or sailors who survived were told that they would be killed or spend the rest of their life in prison if they ever told the truth. Well, after 20 or 25 or 30 years, some of them did come forward. We have a 4-CD set on the USS Liberty. We have a DVD put out by a BBC. We have a video put out by the veterans here. We have the USS Liberty special with information. It's all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. You have my permission to copy anything that I have actually produced, and we welcome you to copy it and get it out. Again, the number 1-800-544-8927. Don't forget our all-day seminar on the 25th of October. Hope that you can make it, and then please pray for America, pray for revival, for our provision and protection.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.